19, the Gospel of Luke. To the well-known story of Zacchaeus, Luke 19, the first 10 verses. This is the word of the Lord. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowds, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Children, I'm sure you know the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. He was a short man, but we don't know how short he was. Maybe as short as you, maybe a little bit taller. He must have been unusually short, because the Bible says he was short of stature. But we don't really know. But it's not really all that important either. But there is one important lesson, children. One important lesson that you need to walk away with this morning. And that is the lesson of this passage, that Jesus saves sinners. And I know you've heard that before. And you're thinking, maybe you're thinking already, well, there's nothing new. But let us consider this familiar story under four main points. First, there is an unlikely situation. And then we see a gracious command. And then there's an obedient response. And then there's an amazing declaration. So there's four thoughts. An unlikely situation. This story takes place as Jesus is on his last trip to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And you actually have to flip all the way back to Luke 9 to pick up the earlier part of the narrative. In Luke 9, Jesus is turned away by a Samaritan village that wants nothing to do with him. It says in Luke 9:53, "But the people did not receive him." And so Jesus is forced to take the long way around the region of Samaria, and he's eventually making his way to the region of Jericho. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem with plans to stay the night there, but he has to take the long route. And right at the beginning of this story, Luke is making it very clear that Jesus is not going to be hindered. Nothing is going to set him off of his path. He's going to have to go on a detour, but he's still going to accomplish his purposes. And the purpose is to bring salvation even to the outcasts. The people that nobody wanted to talk to. Those on the fringes of society. Right at the very beginning of the story, we have to emphasize the Lord's compassion towards sinners. His heart is full of this rich love as he's making his way towards Zacchaeus. It's as if, as Jesus is traveling on the roads, he sees Zacchaeus way down in the distance, and he's got his eyes set on Zacchaeus. There's nothing unintentional about what the Lord is doing here. Every step that he takes is propelled by grace and mercy for lost sinners. Kids, can you imagine? Can you see it in your mind's eye? Jesus is walking down the dusty roads and he's making his way towards Zacchaeus. First, there's a step of sovereign grace. And then a step of pure mercy. And then a step of sweet grace. And then a step of rich mercy. Every step is propelled by this heart that's full of love and compassion for sinners like Zacchaeus. Now, who is this Zacchaeus guy? Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And the tax collectors, they collected all of the taxes from the common people, and then they would give the taxes, in this case, to the Roman authorities. And Zacchaeus had a really, really privileged position, but he has no honor in the sight of his fellow countrymen. Nobody respects Zacchaeus. And there's two obvious reasons. First, he's working for the enemy. All of his money that he's getting together is going off to the Roman authorities, the ones who were suppressing the people. And so he's doing their dirty work. And then the tax collectors were also hated by the common people because it was common practice for the tax collector to take a little off the top. So there was the compulsory tax that everybody had to pay, and then the tax collector would typically just up it by a couple percent maybe, and that would go into his own pocket. And Zacchaeus is not just a common tax collector. He's not just part of the union of tax collectors. No, he's the chief tax collector. He's the guy at the top of the pyramid. He's got the highest rank in the union of tax collectors. And as the administrator, he gets a cut. He gets a percentage from all of the people beneath him. And not only that, Zacchaeus works in one of the most prosperous cities. He would be like in New York City in today's language. The city of Jericho is on a major trade route, and there's business going back and forth, lots of money exchanging hands. And so Zacchaeus did a brisk business of collecting taxes from that training economy. And that makes him very rich. Very rich, kids. He's a multimillionaire. He's got it made. The name Zacchaeus in Hebrew, in the Old Testament language, kids, it means the righteous one. You know what it means to be righteous? It means that you are perfect. You are in a right relationship with God. And in Greek, it means clean or innocent. But Zacchaeus is far from clean or innocent in the eyes of his fellow countrymen. He has no respect. They hated Zacchaeus because he extorted extra money from them and he put it in his own pockets. So Zacchaeus is a professional fraudster. He's extorting money from his own countrymen and he must have had a guilty conscience. I mean, even the non-believer has a conscience that knows some standard of right and wrong. And his conscience must have been pulling him down. His name means clean or innocent, but his conscience, he felt soiled and filthy, just as dirty as the money in his money bag. And that lifestyle was pressing on his conscience. And he is so unsettled in his conscience that he knows he has to find some sort of answers. He goes looking. And we see the Spirit of God at the work, in the heart and life of Zacchaeus. The Lord is working in him and stirring him up and giving him no peace. And then we see Zacchaeus getting on his rich, fancy coat and his nice shoes, and he's going out the door. Where is Zacchaeus going? He's heard that Jesus is coming, and he's got to meet with Jesus. And he doesn't go just simply out of curiosity, kids. No, he has to find out, at the very least, what all this talk is about. And he comes with a guilty conscience, thinking perhaps this Jesus could cleanse his conscience, his guilt-stained conscience. Zacchaeus comes searching. We see Jesus in this passage as the one who seeks and saves sinners, but we also see the Spirit at work in Zacchaeus, and he's going out, and he's also seeking for Jesus. But there are two big problems that Zacchaeus has. The first one is there's lots of people who are following Jesus. There's thick crowds, dense crowds of people. But that's not going to stop Zacchaeus. He's determined to meet Jesus. Once again, this is not curiosity. This is the Lord pushing Zacchaeus to this spot. So Zacchaeus, he's a clever fellow. He comes up with a great plan, and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. And a sycamore tree is a low tree with lots of branches. It was really easy to climb. I'm sure, kids, you could easily get up into a sycamore tree. And so here is this really, really rich man wearing his nice fancy clothes, sitting up there in a sycamore tree. It's almost comical. But Zacchaeus has to get up into that tree. He has to see who Jesus is. And he's not motivated, once again, by childish curiosity. No. This is undignified behavior from a grown man, but he will not be deterred from meeting with Jesus. The second problem Zacchaeus has is he's short. I forgot to mention that. First of all, there were lots of crowds. Secondly, he's short. And so that's another reason that he's gone up into this tree, because he's got to intentionally place himself in the path of where Jesus is going to be. And so we see an unlikely situation here. Like I said, it's almost comical that this grown man would be sitting up there in a sycamore tree waiting for Jesus to come. But let's not overlook the simplicity of the story. We see the Holy Spirit that's been working in the heart of Zacchaeus. It's the sovereign work of the Lord that is stirring up the heart. Zacchaeus feels this weight of guilt on his conscience. Have you ever been to that place? Have you ever been at that spot where you feel that heavy burden on your conscience? Have you ever been there on your knees, as it were, and said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I fail. I come up short. I miss the mark. I need you, Lord. Have you ever been where Zacchaeus is at this point? He knows, Zacchaeus knows in some sense that the Lord is the answer. He knows that God has to do the work. He doesn't just sit back and wait. This is not some sort of fatalism in Zacchaeus. No, just like a young man would intentionally put himself in the path of a young woman so that he would be noticed, that's exactly what Zacchaeus is doing. He conscientiously, very thoughtfully, finds a place to sit so that he knows he will have a meeting with the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus comes along. And he comes with this gracious command. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. In the ESV it says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Although it's Zacchaeus who has gone out seeking after the Lord, it's Jesus now who comes onto the scene, sees Zacchaeus in the tree, and gives very clear instructions to Zacchaeus to come down. Jesus is the one who came to the place, looked up, and saw him. That's the sovereign work of the Lord. The Lord initiates. The Lord begins a good work. Just a few minutes ago, when Zacchaeus was determined to meet with Jesus, it says he ran ahead of the crowds. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. And just as Zacchaeus went quickly up into that tree, the Lord tells Zacchaeus to quickly come down from the tree. The Lord knows the circumstances in which Zacchaeus went up into that tree. He knows what's going on in Zacchaeus' heart. And he says to Zacchaeus, hurry up. That means move quickly. Get going. And when the Lord commands Zacchaeus to hurry up, there's no time for delay or consideration. This was not a time to start some sort of dialogue and start negotiating. The instructions of the Lord Jesus are perfectly clear and must be responded to immediately. Hurry up, Zacchaeus. There's an urgency, an immediacy in the words of Jesus. But don't overlook this heart of compassion that Jesus has for sinners. Like sinners, like Zacchaeus, like me, and like you. And when Zacchaeus was commanded to come down, then Zacchaeus has to humble himself. Remember, he's this powerful, rich tax collector, chief tax collector. And Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus is not in charge of the situation. This is not the time to walk into his big fancy office and have a dialogue and try to work things out. No, Zacchaeus is not in charge. The Lord is in charge, and he's going to tell Zacchaeus exactly what he has to do. Zacchaeus needs to humble himself. He needs to submit to the Lord's instructions and obediently follow his words. And that's how the Lord saves sinners. When the Lord calls a sinner in faith to himself, it's a call of humility and self-denial. I know that's not popular today. You can find hundreds of self-help books. You can do it. You just have to put more into it. You just need to have more positive thinking. That is not the gospel. When Jesus calls a sinner, it's a call of humbling, an emptying of oneself, a recognition that there's no righteousness in and of yourself. It's not the place of the person who is being invited to faith in Christ to start talking about what this should look like or what this shouldn't look like. They're called to submit to the Lord's invitation and humbly follow his words. That's the way the Lord works. This is not a time for theological arguments or some sort of pious sounding explanations. The gospel is simple. Jesus invites sinners. And when he says, hurry up, come down, I must fellowship at your house today, it's a firm command. It's a loving command, but it's a firm command. Not only did the Lord tell Zacchaeus to come down quickly, but he also graciously invites himself over to Zacchaeus' home. This wasn't just some sort of conversation underneath the sycamore tree with a crowd of people listening. The command is very clear and forceful. Today, I must stay at your house. A quote from an older church father with some old English, but I think it's worth considering. The old church father says, had our Savior said no more, but Zacchaeus come down, the poor man would have thought himself taxed for his boldness and curiosity. It were better to be unknown than noted for misbehavior. But how the next words comfort him, for today I must stay at your house. What a sweet familiarity was here, as if Christ had been many years acquainted with Zacchaeus, whom he now first saw. Contrary to custom, the host is invited by the guest and called to an unexpected entertainment. End of quote. Jesus says, I must go to your house and fellowship with you. Now, to break bread in those days was very important, and it signified deep fellowship. It wasn't like us just having a quick meal together. It was much more meaningful than that. And this is not a rude self-invitation. You know how sometimes maybe you want to get in somewhere and somebody says, oh, I've got free tickets to whatever, a Jays game or a Leafs game. And somebody says, oh, you got an extra spot for me? That's not what's happening here. Jesus is humbling himself, and he's coming to Zacchaeus and he's saying, I'm willing to fellowship with you. Jesus is planning to stay at the home of Zacchaeus for a while, to abide there. This is not just a quick coffee. Jesus is willing to have a close relationship with a character like Zacchaeus. Notice that the Lord's command, the commands of the Lord were to be obeyed immediately, today. There's some urgency there. It's the same with us, for us. We must respond immediately to the Lord's invitation. Children, don't make excuses about tomorrow. Maybe next year. Or maybe when I've had some fun and I'm older or I'm more spiritually minded. Don't fall for those tricks. Don't come up with clever arguments and theological reasonings as to why you can't come to the Lord, why you can't respond. Don't use the excuse, oh, I just need to clean things up. If I just start reading my Bible more often and I start doing this and I start doing that, No, the Lord comes with this gracious command and he says, today. Today is the day of salvation. And then we see the response of Zacchaeus. How does Zacchaeus respond? The Lord says, today I must come to your house. Did he just stay up in the tree and say, well, Lord, if you'll help me get down, then I'll come down, or if you will give me some extra strength, then I can... No, it says, he made haste and came down. Zacchaeus responds to the command exactly as the Lord gave it. That's exactly what it means in the original. The same word that Jesus gave to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus followed exactly. It's the same word in response, in obedience. Zacchaeus follows the Lord's instructions exactly, without delay or dispute. There's no arguing. There's no controversy here. And not only that, it's with great joy that Zacchaeus responds to the Lord's instruction. And Zacchaeus welcomes the Lord Jesus into his home, and there's a beautiful reconciliation of fellowship and forgiveness. But not everybody's happy with this situation. Not everybody is saying good things about this. The religious community, they're astonished that Jesus would talk to a sinner like Zacchaeus, that scoundrel. Really? They could not understand how Jesus could be a guest at the home of a tax collector. A tax collector. I mean, that would be like finding the worst white-collar fraudster we could come up with today and saying, Jesus is going to go to his house and going to have fellowship with him. The word that they used to describe what Jesus was doing when he was going to stay at the home of Zacchaeus is the same word that means to unhitch a pack animal for the night, like a donkey or a mule. So they're saying that Jesus is unhitching himself for the night to stay with Zacchaeus. There's nothing kind about what they're saying. There's definitely some inferences to what they're saying. They're saying Jesus is simply a pack animal looking for a place to rest for the night. But here we see Jesus identify with the outcasts of society and have fellowship with them. They were too pious to have fellowship with sinners, but Jesus has come to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous, not these self-righteous scribes and Pharisees who thought they could earn their own salvation. No, he's come for Zacchaeus. He's come for me. He's come for you. And we have to remember, the Lord is on his way to the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to die a sacrificial death for sinners. He knows that he must suffer and die and bear the wrath of God the Father against sin. It's only the way of the cross, and he must go. It's only the way of the cross that sinners can be reconciled back to God. So here Jesus is pointing to Zacchaeus on his way to the cross, and he's saying, I save sinners like that. But the religious community, they don't want anything to do with this message of free and sovereign grace. They'd rather try to work it out on their own. They're going to try to earn their own salvation. Oh, what foolishness. There's free salvation in the work of Christ. And then Zacchaeus comes with this beautiful confession. He responds in faith and obedience. He stands up and he says to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Here's the model of forgiveness. Zacchaeus knows that his record has been totally cleaned, and the righteousness of Christ has been put onto his account, and so he's a multi-trillionaire, spiritually speaking. And he demonstrates great joy, a willing generosity, and a spirit of restitution for his previous wrongs. His money doesn't mean anything anymore. It's not his idol. He has realized it has no control over him, and he's willing to make it all right, give it all the way up to four times as needed. His heart's been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is super clear in his confession. He used to be greedy for money, and now he's willing to give it away. The sin of greed has been broken by the power of the gospel. And there's nothing half-hearted about Zacchaeus' confession. You can't say, well, we're not really totally sure where Zacchaeus ended up with. He's prompt and sincere in his desire to confirm his confession in the Lord. What about you? How do you respond to this offer of grace? Do you come with the same prompt and sincere response? Do you come joyfully, gladly, gratefully, as Zacchaeus did? Or is it possible your response is more like the religious community, murmuring, full of excuses, objections, just general complaint? Do you stumble over this truth of free and sovereign grace, this liberal proclamation of the gospel to whosoever will. Perhaps it's too free and you want to add something. You think, if I can just put in just a little bit. The Lord calls us to respond as Zacchaeus did, promptly and sincerely, with a heart full of gratitude. And then in our fourth point, we see an amazing declaration. Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus is given a public cleansing, a public forgiveness. Jesus says to the whole crowd, "Today salvation has come to this house." The Lord had called Zacchaeus and he said, "Today I must have fellowship with you." And then Jesus grants a full pardon and acceptance of Zacchaeus on that day. The Lord is using these beautiful familial words to describe this new birth that Zacchaeus has experienced, because he's been adopted into the household of faith. He's not just a son of Abraham by name, not just, you know, a member of the ethnic Jewish community. No, he's a son of Abraham by faith, by true spiritual faith in the Messiah, in Christ. He's been adopted by his elder brother, the Lord Jesus. And this story, this simple story, is an illustration of the whole mission of what Jesus has come to do. Verse 10 summarizes the whole gospel. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here we have Jesus pointing to himself as he's on his way to the cross, and he's saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Or he's saying, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." So the Lord Jesus is crying out to the crowd, and he's saying, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved." That's the mission that Jesus has accomplished. And he's still fulfilling this mission. And so in conclusion, I leave you with two thoughts. One to talk about and one to do. One, talk about the gospel. It's great to talk about the weather and politics and the economy and whatever else. But don't forget the gospel. That God, full of infinite love, would send his Son in human flesh, would live a perfect life and go the way of the cross to die for sinners, hell-bound sinners, and then would erase their sins because of his finished work, and would pour his righteousness onto their account, and then bless them with abundant blessings as sons and daughters of the King. That's unbelievable. Let's not lose our focus on the amazing of amazing grace. And the second thing we need to do: Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Perhaps we forget that we live amongst the lost. I trust you can speak of the Lord's grace. But the lost are all around us. Have we forgotten that there are coworkers and our neighbors and our family and our friends? They're lost. And we need to have the heart of Jesus to step over our shame, our awkwardness, whatever hinders us, and tell them the good news. Don't leave them in their lost estate. If you had a remedy for cancer, wouldn't you tell the world? We have the best news in the whole world, and we so often just keep it in our back pocket. Tell the lost. Tell them. tell them lovingly, tell them winsomely, but tell them. Tell them they're lost, but tell them there's a Redeemer in Christ, a friend of sinners, sinners like Zacchaeus, sinners like us. Tell them. Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save the lost. May we do so as well. All for his glory. Amen.